will help you get your net worth in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the low-tech studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, with another rain report. Nets, 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 everywhere you turn. Rather tune on the HF band at night, especially 80 meters. You collide with every sort of net. Traffic nets, Bible nets, political nets, good old boy nets, you name it. On VHF and UHF repeaters, you'll find nets of all types and description. But if your favorite repeater does host such a net, there are three questions you should ask yourself.
What is the purpose of having a net on your repeater? How do you motivate people to check into it and to participate in it? And what makes for a successful net content-wise?
Weekly repeater nets can and should be more than just a 15-minute yawn for a handful of old-timers. Much more. Just ask RAIN's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP.
As a brief introduction, I have been producing audio ham radio programming since 1984. First, locally, in Chicago, for what was called the Bear Information Service, which was the most successful and widely linked net in Chicago's history. And that went from 1984 to 89. I was net coordinator for that and one of the net controls. I was honored to be a recipient of the 2002 Radio Amateur of the Year at Dayton Hamvention, primarily for all the production work and the work I've done in amateur radio with nets since the late 60s. And I today produce what's called the RAIN, like what we had yesterday. Thank goodness we don't have it today. The RAIN Report, which is online at therainreport.com. It's an audio ham radio feature magazine. You're familiar perhaps with Newsline. Well, RAIN actually is a spin-off of Newsline. Newsline, no Pasternak and the guys do news, I do features. All right. Little audience participation here. What is the purpose of having a net? Assuming you have a net on your local repeater, whether it be here in Milwaukee, wherever it might be, what is the purpose of having a net on repeater? And to speak up good and loud, I'm not only blind, I don't hear real well either. So I have 7 items here. I want to see how many of you guys come up with. What is the purpose of having a net on your repeater? Anybody?
Pass on information.
Pass on information. Good, that's one.
Emergency radio traffic.
Okay, radio traffic is another good one. Third one.
Testing equipment operation.
Excellent. That's the third one I have as well. Anybody else? All right, I have 7 items. First of all, assuming it's being sponsored by a radio club, one important reason for having a net is to promote that club's activities on that net. It's like a bulletin board. It's like a town crier who stands on the box and says, "Hearey, hearey, we've got a great club. We have a special event coming up next week. We've got a major field day operation planned for June." So that is one important purpose of having a net on your repeater. Another one that was already mentioned, check repeater performance. Boy, how many repeaters in your area sit 22, 23 hours a day not being used, and then come a major disaster, maybe that repeater can't stay up more than 5 or 10 minutes before it fails. Well, if you have a net that's run properly and you provide some good content, it could be up for a half hour, 45 minutes, or an hour. So it's a good technical check to see how well the repeater is performing, transmitter-wise, receiver-wise, audio-wise. Provide a sense of community. Remember when we all grew up, we might have had a tree house or a clubhouse in the backyard that we got together with our friends? Well, technologically, amateur radio's clubhouse is the weekly repeater net, where the members of repeater or of a special interest group meet once a week to share their camaraderie, to be all together at the same time. Another important reason for net, to track severe weather. These, of course, are your Skywarn, Racy's, Aries, your severe weather nets. Well, that's an extremely important, useful, and politically a very excellent use of repeater and repeater time. When you look at how many hours our repeaters are without any activity at all, it's amazing we keep any of our frequencies. But that's for another time and another talk. Another important reason for having a net on a repeater, and was already brought up, news and information. Amateur radio news, Newsline, ARRL bulletins, or other bulletins that you receive or read on the internet. And of course, the rain report was also a good source of information. Two more points here. Another good reason to have a net on repeaters is to connect with area hams. Remember, it's not just your members who are listening. Many other clubs, guests from out of town, new hams who just got licensed and are looking for a club to join, to become active with. Scanner listeners looking to take a ham class. Perhaps your club holds a ham class every year. Or a scanner listener who's looking to be tested. Maybe your club holds testing sessions. What a great way to connect with folks in the area, both licensed and unlicensed.
You're listening to a talk that was given at what was formerly Amateur Electronics Supply, now Ham Radio Outlet in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, by RAIN's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP. We'll continue part one of his Getting Your Net Worth presentation after I remind you these RAIN reports are archived on therainreport.com and reportedly somewhere on iTunes. This is the Radio Amateur Information Network.
You're listening to The RAIN Report from www.therainreport.com.
Second question, how do we motivate people to check in? I have what are called the four V's, V like boy. Four V's of checking in, of how to get people to participate. The first one is be on time and be organized. This is where a net coordinator is very important, and his or her responsibility is to be sure that your net starts Wednesday night at 8 o'clock or Thursday at 7, Monday at 9, whenever it's scheduled and published to start, it needs to start on time. How often have you run into a net somewhere on summer feeder and it's 5 after 9 and,
hey, George, yeah, Jerry was supposed to be here at 9 o'clock to run the net. He's not here. I guess I should do it. Now, how professional does that look? How amateurish, with a lowercase a, can you get in running a net? Be organized. Have the agenda in front of you if you're going to be a net control or if you're a net coordinator and you're going to have someone run the net. Be sure they have an agenda in front of them. What's to happen when and at what time? Keep a timeline so the net goes along the way it should, doesn't get bogged down in minutiae, as I call it. Be selective. Selective often is a negative term. Selective in this case means prevent people from transmitting on top of each other or over each other when they're checking in, or being afraid to check in for fear that they might double with someone else. How do you do that? Ask for people in a certain geographical area. All those in the city of Kenosha, come now. Or all those on the west side of the Deschutes River. Or take check-ins by prefix. All those stations whose call sign starts with K, and then those with W and an N, and then other letters. That's a good way to spread them out. You limit the number of stations doubling on each other. Nothing wrong with doubling if it happens occasionally, but if you have the fortune of having 20, 30 stations to check in, and you sure can if you do it right, then you really do want to try to minimize that as much as possible. Take ends by how many years he or she has been licensed. All those who have been licensed less than 1 year, less than 5 years, 10 years, those who have been licensed between 10 and 20. Again, any way to spread it out, and also your check-ins learn a little bit about each other. Oh, gee, I didn't know John's been licensed for 35 years. Wow, I ought to go pick his brain about this antenna problem I'm having. He might know how to help me. He's been around a while. You sure cannot tell by call signs anymore with vanity calls. I ran into a station last night on the local 511 machine who's been licensed less than a year or two, and he has a K9 call. Oh, well. So much for traditions. So, be selective. Be personable. If you recognize somebody's call sign and you know their name or know what town they're in, or maybe they just got back from a vacation, maybe they just got a new job, it's always kind of fun and nice and personable to recognize that person. Yeah, I know who you are. I know that you just upgraded to your general license. Congratulations. Anything to make that person feel important. We all want to feel important. We all want to be recognized for who we are and what we are and what we do. The fourth V to how do you motivate people to participate is be ready to welcome guests. Be ready to welcome guests. Many times when I was net control on the Bear Information Service in Chicago, which was on the 145.15 machine, which was the broadcast employee's amateur repeater in those days. That repeater was located in Schaumburg, Illinois. Schaumburg is the hub of Motorola. So we quite often had guests coming in from out of town who were going to class at Motorola or were in for a technical training for certification, what have you. And it was always nice to make them feel welcome. So that when Joe Blow checked in, who was in from Boston, that you could recognize him and say, I understand you're in from out of town. Where are you from? Are you here on business or pleasure? Don't interrogate the guy, but just be polite and friendly. Because it's always nice to be visiting a town, to be recognized as being a fellow human being, a fellow ham operator. How often I drive through towns and I'll pick up the mic and squeeze the pickle and say, is KC9RP mobile passing through in the area? Anybody around? That's what I hear. Nothing. Whether you're net control or not, you hear unfamiliar call signs on your repeater. Don't just let them hang. Go back to them. Be friendly. Say hi to them. Hey, how you doing? Are you in for the weekend? Can we go grab a cup of coffee? That's what ham radio is all about.
And that concludes our first of two excerpts from Getting Your Net Worth, a talk Rain's founder and producer, Hap Holly, gave at what was formerly AES, now HRO, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2016, Rain. All rights are reserved. Now for all those nets that carry these Rain Reports. I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY Bidding Over 73. From the Rain Report, available anytime on therainreport.com and via iTunes. Keep on hamming.